Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Warmaster Podcast, episode 178 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, listeners. We're in Che Barry today.
Yeah, just for a change.
Just for a change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been days, so the dog's fucking barking constantly. Mm-hmm. Drives me nuts on Fridays. But what we're going to talk about today, Paul?
So, the thing we really have to talk about, which is Warmaster Revolution Compendium 2.0 is out. This is the rule book. It is being redone. It looks very nice. And we're going to talk through it, talk about the changes in it. And I guess we can't talk about the votes yet, can we?
That'll be the next episode
because the votes aren't finished yet. Is that right? There's still 30 days of votes to go.
So 21 days.
So 21 days. Is it still going?
Yeah. I think it's till the end of the month.
So we can't talk about them until they're finished. You know, but we can talk about the new rule book, which if you're playing Revolution, you are going to be using.
And if you're not playing Revolution, then
why are you listening to us?
Why aren't you playing Revolution?
Yeah, you really should, because it's better.
What are you thinking? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? So Alice has done some monstrous amount of work.
Yes. I mean, you're talking about like a 90%, 10%. Like, one person's doing 90% of the work here.
Well, I think luckily he's got somebody helping him out massively.
He would have
in the background.
I mean, like, it genuinely looks professionally done. Like, you know, it's a lovely looking art document.
Okay, so
do you want to give the background as to how we've led up to Warmaster 2.0? Like, why do we need, like, because some people wouldn't know, like, why we had to change it.
Oh.
No, they wouldn't know, would they?
Well, that's because we got, not we.
Yeah.
although we.
You personally.
Not me personally. There was a cease and desist.
Yes.
One of GW's massive, I think they just kind of do... What would you call it? Like batch emails, don't they? So they just say, who's fucking mauling around with our IP in the entire world and just fire up fucking cease and desist at all of them?
If I was a conspiracy theorist, maybe it's hoovering up stuff, you know, ahead of Warhammer the Old World, or maybe it's just it caught their attention. I mean, I do know that there are some GW employees who play this game, so it's inevitable. I mean, you could have said it was the expected conversation we were going to get, but I'm surprised it's now and not 5 years ago. Yeah, it's like it or something. It's like it, and it was I'm no judge of it, but it wasn't a completely stop what you're doing. It was please remove our IP from your product.
Yeah. So like art.
Art. Yeah.
Particularly. Because yeah. Art mm-hmm. is the thing. You can't necessarily, you can IP names, obviously. Although I'm not sure that Warmaster is still trademarked, the actual name Warmaster. Mm-hmm. But you can definitely IP like slang.
Yeah.
Is that slang? I don't know. They've changed all the names, haven't they?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the new names, whatever the fuck they call them now, Sephiroth.
Like, yeah.
They trademarked that before they made the name. But I mean, you can't IP game systems, which is one of the great. You can try and IP some of the wording, but like a game engine, you can't IP. Mm-hmm. Which I think we talked a bit about Dungeons and Dragons and their open license. It's basically just a nod to the fact that you can't control people using your engine.
Mm.
So why not embrace it? So they asked us to get rid of the things that were IP-able.
Yes.
Like pictures,
yeah.
Art,
yeah.
The cover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no references to the kind of unit names and all that kind of shit. Yeah. Races. I mean, an elf's an elf, innit? I mean, at the end of the day.
An elf is an elf is an elf?
But well, you know what I mean, is it? They're not called elves now, are they?
Ales.
Ales.
With an A.
The ales. Penelope pissed off the ales.
So easy to rip on Age of Sigmar.
I hope when they go back to the old world, they don't bring all the new shit with them.
I don't know.
I've got a feeling they may well do.
I don't know. With one of the old world, like... I imagine it's going to be a game system where it's a version of a couple of the editions like merged together.
Yeah, but they're not going to allow Lizardmen to exist again, are they?
I don't know.
Why would you? Well, you've just gone through all this process of changing it.
Exactly.
So you're going to have to call them Seraphon or whatever the fuck.
The issues of why Warhammer died a death and like in terms of had its issues as a game system are still going to be there. Unless they really change the rule set, it's still going to be the issues of what Warhammer had, I always felt. Some people obviously won't have a word said against like what Warhammer was in terms of they think it was a fantastic game. Some people do.
Well, it was a game.
It was a game. <You're right>.
So, anyway, if you want to get yourself a Warmaster Revolutions Compendium V 2.0, you head over to Warmaster Revolutions. Is it .com? What's the, have you got the website address?
.com.
Yeah, Warmaster.
That what? So it the Warmaster Revolution.
So it's WMR.
Oh, hello. Maybe it's not. Oh, so that's in the news page, isn't it? I'll go onto the homepage.
I'm sure it's WMR. Hyphen
HTTPS www.wm-revolution.com.
Revolution.com. And you'll find the fan rule set there.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the changes that happened. We're going to big up, hopefully without drawing the eye of Sauron, we're going to big up some of the people who did some of the amazing stuff in this book. And talk about the changes.
We will read out what is open source information on the website, and we will go I'll go through it. I mean, it's reiterate, it is 90-10 effort. This is, and so massive thank you to Alish for putting in the 90.
So first thing I'll talk about is the cover.
Yes.
Because obviously we couldn't use the original cover.
That is Warmaster. A cover from Mighty Empires, isn't it?
Fantastic.
Which is a bit of historical art, isn't it?
Correct. So very early on in this process, I was talking to Matthew to kind of sound him out as whether he was willing to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about the fact that we weren't going to be able to use the cover. And he said, oh, well, fuck it, just use Mighty. Because I don't know if people know Matthew. He's on Facebook, but I'm not on Facebook very much. But he's quite a forthright chap.
Yes, he is.
He's a bit of an anarchist like me at heart, I think. So he said, well, fucking Mighty Empires, they just ripped some piece of historical art off, so just fucking use that.
Yeah.
And so then I spoke to Alish, and he loved the idea that we could rag on GW a little bit by using a piece of art that they just ripped off.
Yes.
They can't have a go at us for ripping off the same piece of art that they ripped off.
Because that art is... What date is that art?
Oh, like, Jesus, old. 1529. So it's like, and it's in 1529, I mean, this must have been like a crazy bit of fantasy art.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look that realistic.
So, for those who might not know, it's a picture of a massive battle going on.
Massive. And it looks, it doesn't look very realistic.
It's all soldiers of the time. There's lots of knights hitting each other, lots of pikes. There's certainly no magic or fantasy going on because this is an historical painting, but it suits Warmaster very well. You could see like this is like the Empire having a dispute,
having a dispute with themselves.
Yeah, with themselves. Like, well, I think it should be the Countess of Nuln.
Or the Bretonians.
They'd have a bit more fantasy about it, maybe. Fantasy. But never mind. It's good. It's perfect for
it. It was used in Mighty Empire.
Mighty Empire.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. So we'll just talk about the editors now. Warmaster Revolution WMR is a fan-based second edition of the rules of the Warmaster game. Warmaster stopped being supported by GW in 2012. Yep. Does it? Did it last that long?
I guess I don't know.
I mean that probably means when they sold everything off, binned it out. Yeah. But I don't know when the active support.
I think
when
you stopped being able to buy it from them.
Yeah. Yeah, there are still many players around the world who love this game and are regularly playing it. Warmaster Revolution first started as a Czech community-based project, but has since evolved into a project supported by large parts of the international community.
Hello.
There are a couple of little pockets of resistance. But they like to have things their own way. Warmaster Revolution Rules Committee, WMRRC, consists of a number of players from around the world, was established to discuss rules issues and potential changes to the army list. The main aim of the Warmaster Revolution rule set is to implement the combat system from Ancients, a second generation of the Warmaster rule system. In brief, this means a limited amount of combat rounds within one combat phase, among many other small fixes and enhancements. Warmaster Revolution also features a set of optional rules that focus on adding more dynamics to the game. Finally, a number of minor changes have been introduced into the existing army lists. We believe that Warmaster Revolution offers more dynamic, smooth, and realistic games than the original version, but most importantly, it shows that not supported by GW anymore, the game still lives on. And we have a Make War Games, Not War. I'm not claiming any credit for any of this. This is all Alice is doing. Yeah. So.
Open source.
In honour of Sergei Kushnir and all fellow wargamers who've had to experience real war and Paul Winter.
Yeah, I have. What did I get to mention?
Did you really?
What did I really?
Did you really? You might have. Did you?
What? Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I love it. Like, somebody who hasn't served is like ridiculing me, going for what I did for my country. Well, what do you know?
I don't know. I don't know nothing. Yeah, like, I watched that. I love that film. The diseased dog. I'm going to fucking forget the name of the film.
Do I care? Why are we talking about this?
I need you to come pick me up, all right? I got bit by fucking diseased dog. God damn it.
I think he had a lot of help from Jan Zapata.
Zapatka.
I've got to get that
brilliant,
right.
Lovely German guy. Friend. Lovely guy.
Yeah, I haven't met him in the flesh, although I did give the Discord league to him quite quickly after kind of sanding him out in a game. So that was he's a cool guy. And Matt Street did all the art, which is an incredible. I don't know what. I don't know how you could be rewarded in this life for something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's one thing to kind of take something and kind of chisel the edges off and restructure it, but it's a completely different fucking thing to make things out of
creative juice. Yeah, no.
And like, then give it away.
Like, the quality of this book is it could be on a shelf, couldn't it? Like, is in you. Know, it's good enough to be like, oh, that is a current. You know, that is something to buy.
Yeah, and then we got some a big list of miniature painters, and then some special thanks to kind of people who got involved in the photography and layouts and stuff. Some of the pictures of the miniatures, I mean, and it's all colour.
Yeah,
apart from the bits that are drawn in black and white. Yeah. So you get some incredible stuff in here for an incredible price.
Yeah.
Price being nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but it is worth mentioning that the original art from Matthew is like, I'm not sure you can get recompensed in this lifetime for that, Matthew.
But
hopefully you get many, many commissions on the back of it.
Hope so. Yeah, exactly. Mm.
So if anybody's looking for fantasy art, Matthew Street is your man.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and get well soon, sir, if you're not already well. I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know. Last I saw over Christmas, he wasn't that well. So hopefully he is better now.
I think he is better, yeah.
Okay, good for him. Mm-hmm. Right, so Paul, what changes have we brought in with this second edition?
So just to give you a bit of recap, what's going on is these are some changes to the core rules, which have been decided, been put into this. There are lots of army list changes coming up, as part of this year's like voting process, but they say they're not out yet.
No.
But they're not going to feature in this like compendium because it doesn't have the army lists in it. Is that right? The compendium doesn't have the army list, does it?
No, because the army lists aren't.
The army lists, yeah. So
hopefully the army list people don't rush off and print those books, because I'm pretty sure if you want to print them, it's your fucking business, print them.
Exactly. And
I'm pretty sure if anything's going to change, it will be in the army books.
Yes.
There may be some like spelling mistakes and grammatical shit in here. Right.
Bug hunts.
I mean, that happens every. Yeah. There hasn't been a rule book ever produced that within a few weeks hasn't somebody has said, "Oh, you spelled this wrong," or the spacing here is wrong, or whatever.
Stop.
Yeah, there's an apostrophe missing here, but whatever.
So okay,
the army books are almost guaranteed to change next year.
Yeah.
Well, they will change.
They will change.
Nothing stays still.
But that's good, because if you were a punter playing this game system, you want it to like be looked at. Yeah, I would. You know, like okay. So this is from I'm reading information from the news page of.
So read the news. What does the post say?
The post says War Master Revolution Compendium 2.0 is out! ! On the this was posted up on 10th of February. So special thanks goes to Matthew Street, who provided us with the incredible and original artwork, and to Jan Zapatrick, who did all of the diagrams and his share in the overall layout look. Many thanks to all those contributed to their awesome painted miniatures and to those who helped with fine-tuning details in the rules. But FYI, my Skaven are in there, which is pretty... My Skaven I painted are in this thing. I've seen. What is new? Pink noses. What is new? Apart from the layout, nothing much.
Right.
But some optional rules were implemented into the core rules. Now, this is actually a big thing, is in my head, because what some optional rules are now actual core rules. They're not optional anymore. This is how you play the game. You know?
Yes, I agree.
So I think it's been downplayed. I think that is a big thing.
We'll take it slowly then, because I always said, personally, that we were a little bit over-eager to adopt optional rules. Not always, but like some of them, the people, there was like, it was like, somebody suggested an optional rule, couple of people tried it. Suddenly, everyone was using it, like the light cavalry stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it's quite difficult to rein back then, because people go out and say, "Oh, fucking painted 12 units of Hobgoblin riders now, because these guys are the nuts." And now suddenly you've got 12 units of Hobgoblin riders back on your shelf, mate.
Yeah.
Because they've lost the rule that made them off the fucking chart.
Yeah. So what is new? Apart from the layout, nothing much. Some optional rules were implemented into the core rules. Half-pace movement.
Right, that's a big one.
That is the huge one.
Well, there's lots of huge ones, but that is the big one.
So I played Warmaster Medieval yesterday with
Jim. Good luck to you, sir.
With Jim the Gent. And we included half-pace movements. We're basically playing, let's play Medieval as written, but we are going to include half-pace movement. And good thing we did, because we'd still be playing that game if we didn't have the half-pace movement.
You know, I've only ever played one game of Ancients or Medieval.
You've never played one game of it?
I've played one game against you.
All right, okay.
Did I have Romans, or you had Romans?
I had Romans. I probably had Romans, yeah.
No, I think I might have had Romans. You had Brits or something. Oh. Anyway, the game is like, you just got everything in a big long line covering your flanks, because you cannot let shit into your flanks. It's just impossible. You've got leaders with leadership 6 and 7, and you get -2 for getting shit round the back. Yes. Well, you're rolling a 5.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, and with no half space movement, you can't even turn. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that to me, that is a huge thing, because I can't remember the last game I played of Warmaster of any version that it wasn't using that half space movement.
Well, if you went back and you came to this game new. And you bought your rule book on eBay, yeah, and you played original vanilla, or you downloaded the vanilla. There's no half-pace move.
No.
And you will get all that bullshit harpies behind your artillery. Yeah. Yeah. You got one chance on a fucking 6 to turn around, or whatever it is. If you fail, you're dead.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Exactly. It was such a cheap, easy tactic to put stuff behind you, and then you get one chance to turn around, and if you fail, you're going to die. Especially if you could do things like some armies not only have the harpies, but they can have things that modify your command as well. So -1 to command and the harpies in the back. It's like, oh, fuck, I need a fucking... No! No!
Yep, exactly. So, this is a big thing. And great to see it. Great to see it.
It makes the game a different game.
A much better game.
Yeah. But without it, the game is, like, horrible.
Yeah. You're like, So playing Warmaster Medieval yesterday, I was using Teutonic Order, which is a lot of knights, versus the Bohemian League, which is less knights, but war wagons and things. And honestly, like, the amount of failed orders going on because the command, like, of those, exactly those additional negative in the game of, like, something on your flanks, etc. I mean, sometimes you'd just be a half-pace moving anything. Like, as in that's all you could do. And you had to. And
yeah, but without the harpist, you're not moving
anything. And unless you maxed on characters, Jim took 3 characters when he could have taken 5. He was really suffering for
command. What level were the characters?
Well, they're all 8. That's all any of them are. Okay. So I had 9 and I took 4 characters, a 9 and 3 8s. I should have taken 5. Like, you need characters.
9 and 3 8s? But you've only got 1,250 points or
2,000
something.
2,000 it was.
Oh, is it? That's a different game, is it?
Medieval, is. What's the right scale to play it? Who knows? But we played it at 2,000 points.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Ancients was always 1,250.
1,000 or 1,250,
And you really struggled to get enough leadership into it because there's nothing left.
Yeah, and also both those versions of Warmaster have really, every army is really cheap units amongst, like, peasants cost 20 points.
Yeah.
And do nothing. Yeah. So
protect your flank. That's what they want.
Just do nothing. That's now a core rule, half-pace movement. Flyers charging 60 centimetres.
That's a big rule.
That's a big rule. So they're not charging 100, they're charging, and it's an optional rule, like, and charging 60. They are charging 60. That is as far.
They still move 100.
They still move 100, yeah.
But the charging 60 does limit their effectiveness quite a lot.
Exactly.
Instead of one order, you tend to need 2 to make them do.
Which is
better. To make them do what you want them to do.
No visibility over intervening terrain from the hill. So, you're on a hill, there's no, you can't see over intervening terrain.
Are you sure? What does that mean?
No visibility over intervening terrain. It'll be more written in more depth in the book.
Oh, I see.
Scenery blocks line of sight.
This wasn't an optional rule I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But in the terrain rules, If you're on a hill, you can see over everything. Yeah. Even other hills, other forests, whatever, fucking cities, everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think in this version, you can't.
You can't.
So if it's area terrain, you can't see over it.
Exactly, which makes sense.
Because why could you, if somebody was stood, like, parked exactly behind a forest, and you could shoot over the forest and land it on them, there was no shadow of the forest or...
Yeah, apparently that's what the new Space Marine rocket launchers can do.
I'm sure they probably... <It's> Space Marines, though.
So, then some optional rules are gone, partially defended units. So that was where a unit bridges a bit of area terrain and it gets the whole unit gets a buff. So it's in and out of the terrain at the same time.
Yeah, I prefer that done on a stand-by-stand basis. I think it's more sensible. Yeah,
so, and that's what it'll be now. And the rest of the optional rules were moved to respective chapters. There are two new optional rules.
Wow.
Flyers must land at least 1 centimetre away from the enemy. I thought they already had to do that. I think so what it means that your flyers land behind something, a combat, the enemy is pushed back 1 centimetre, they're not touched the flyers yet, have they? Is that right? It wouldn't be, they haven't interacted yet.
So the problem is that this looks like a bit of math again.
Mm.
So what's the minimum distance you can be pushed back?
1 centimetre.
So if I'm 1 centimetre away,
at least 1 centimetre.
Well, that means 1 centimetre.
Yeah. So does that mean...
A minimum of 1 centimetre.
Yeah.
So if I'm exactly 1 centimetre away...
You are then touching it. Killed. Yeah. So, okay. I see, I don't like...
So mathematically, it says that needs to be more than 1 centimetre away, although it doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything, does it?
It's exactly the same. So it's not the same as it is now, because you could be a millimetre away.
I mean, it probably is brought in more detail, again, in the book. We're not looking at... We're just reading a news post here. So to make any difference in the game, it's going to have to say at least more than 1 centimetre away.
No, at least and more than are different things.
Yeah, so flyers must land at more than 1 centimetre away.
Must land more than 1 centimetre away. Yeah. More than one.
Yeah.
At least is one or more.
So, well, I mean, again, this is a guy who's not English national.
Of course.
Yeah. So that means that...
Well, why just flyers is my answer.
Well, because this is the debate, and this has been reflected on the committee. But yeah, because you can do this with anything. People just, they just do it with flyers because it's the easiest to do it with.
You could do it with 30 centimetre cavalry. You
could do it with goblins.
Well, they're a bit slow for it.
But you could.
Yeah, of course you can. Of course
you can do it with trolls.
It's certainly because the reason why it's so easy with flyers
is because they can fly 100.
100, yeah. It's not even 60, it's 100. So 100 is a fucking long way.
Yeah, exactly.
But fair enough.
So, okay. And
apparently, this is one of the major feel bads in the game
which,
for newer players.
Yeah, but it's unless you redid Warmaster in a sense that you don't have drive backs, you don't have pushbacks because they're mechanics that don't need to be there.
Or you say units, unless they're charging, can't go within a centimetre of each other. They have to stay more than a centimetre away.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
So, unless you changed it in some way, this is people playing on the rules, core rules.
Well, this might be an optional rule.
Yeah, exactly. And then units retain... So, this means that my flyers, I land my flyers behind the combat, you're gonna be driven back at least 2 to get caught.
Well, that's not what it says.
No, but that's what's intended.
That's the intention.
That's the intention. The intention
is, so that's not as hard as you think.
No.
Because it's generally
Because you round up the combat res. You know, in terms of two units have lost by
three.
Three. Yeah, they go back 2. Yeah.
And then they all die anyway.
So it's it gives you a little bit more protection than it did before. To that.
So if you got, because these tend to be like 2-on-2 fights.
Yes.
That's how it tends to work with the flyers lengthways at the back. So 2-on-2, 2 units of knights on 2 units of knights or whatever. So you can afford to lose by 1 and 2, but not 3.
Yeah. And I would say that when people rag on that kind of tactic or whatever, there is always mitigation. Like you can always mitigate that tactic being done to you. Not completely, because no tactic can be completely mitigated against. It wouldn't be a tactic. But there's always things you can do to try and guard against that.
And it tends to, the flyers tend to die the next turn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they're completely out of formation, aren't they?
Yeah, they've landed behind, even if you don't, the other player doesn't get to kill them in his turn, they've got to home back somewhere. And if they roll badly on the home back, they're not going anywhere. You know, they can't get an order. So if the closest character is 50 centimetres away and they roll 1 for the home back, they go back 10.
Mm.
They're not within ordered distance.
No.
Because remember, flies have to be ordered within 20 centimetres.
And so even if somehow you manage, my knights with, and your knights have got the things behind, the flies behind, and my knights win, I can't protect my flies because I can't move in front of the line.
No, and
so my flies are always in front of this shit. So,
and heaven forbid, if you actually bounce and you lose that fight, then the enemy has the choice of which units they're going to delay.
Kill them all.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
So, units retain, there's another optional rule, units retain charge bonuses for advance in a case of the enemy was destroyed in the first round of combat.
Mm.
So this is to represent, right, so this is perfect happening, like medieval yesterday.
Okay.
Like, give me a perfect example. I had two units of Teutonic Order Brother Knights, which are basically the best knights, all right? They're the ones who have seen the cross, blessed the true cross, they're as good as
it gets. So they're 4-3-4 up.
They're four attacks. And they have the knight bonus, everyone, because there's an additional one on
so
the charge.
So five on the charge.
First combat.
Pretty cold anyway, ones, yeah?
Two of them went smashed into like a wall of metal of just a regular unit of infantry in the game. And easily, the amount easily took them, did the 9 wounds that was required. So that would allow me to then do an advance and for full effect. You know, like as an advance, so you get the charge bonus. Which is meant to retain such momentum that literally your knights didn't even stop to kill the people. They just ran them down, ran them straight through. Because they were like, a knight is like, I don't know, several tons of like armor moving, and it just didn't even need to swing his sword.
Right.
Like, it just ran them straight over. Is like, okay, so this is interesting. Like, okay, so if you, there then is a reason to completely overkill something, because you will get a bonus for it.
Okay, so what happened was we had a little, I think we talked about the fact we had a meeting in Bruno,
mm-hmm.
and that allowed us to kind of sit down and talk through, and chew some cud and come up with some solutions. Because one of the games I played was against the Polish Rad, who's got a different name, Rafael or whatever the fuck. And he had this, it's a valid tactic, but it's really fucking cheesy. So he'd have like a line of trolls, and in front of them they'd have goblins offset.
Yes, yeah, so they can't be supported, so they die.
But the goblins die to my whatever, I was using Rhinox, so fucking hell. I mean, I hit him with 21 attacks with no armour. So the goblins die. The trolls behind, now if I go into them, I'm only advancing.
Exactly.
I'm not charging.
Because
they weren't in the combat, so there's no pursuing. So it's an advance. And it's like, I can't advance into these fuckers.
You choose
supported trolls.
Yeah, it's going to hurt you.
So I get 15 attacks. They've got fucking 5 attacks each with regeneration and support. So his little 30-point goblins who died.
Still giving away the break.
But I can't afford to lose my Rhinox this easily. Right. 220 points or whatever they are. So I had to pull back. And it still didn't save the Rhinox, but the alternative was certain death. So a solution was found that if you do that tactic, and it is generally aimed at that tactic.
I mean, it looks a bit weird because the offset can be minimal, can't it? Like, on the table.
Because this is not, if you were lined up behind, say you've got the goblins are lined up and the trolls are behind, and I kill the goblins, I can't get this because I have to pursue into the trolls. So this is only where you're fucking about offsetting and stuff to try and get an advantage. That it means that, yes, you can do your...
It's going to lessen, I can think of like, a unit like Skaven Rat Swarms, where they can't be supported. So, as in they can't be supported by other things than Rat Swarms.
Right.
So
we could support them then.
I'm just saying, like, if you had a unit like that, where it's like, okay, so they're in front of a unit and they're going, this will lessen their effect because that was a tactic to use them in terms of like...
It's not really a tactic.
It's
too easy because you take away... You get rid of your shit, your goblins, but then you take away my advance. My charge or pursue bonus. All I get is an advance. And in the revolution, there's no bonuses for advancing. You're just regular attacks.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that's a real problem.
Yeah. So it probably... That option rule helps cavalry. Because
it helps everybody.
Helps everybody, but cavalry more so.
No, because I did the same thing. I sent Iron Guts.
Oh, okay. Right.
Goblins are offset.
Yep.
Goblins fucking die. Because goblins die.
Yeah.
But now my Iron Guts are lined up against trolls who are supported.
Yeah. And they might have one or two hits in them from the goblins. Yeah.
Might do.
Might do.
Mm-hmm. What do you do? Do I advance with no bonus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or do I not?
It's like, the fact...
So this gives you a slight buff that if you vaporize that first rank of shit,
yeah,
you can get an advance bonus, which is similar to a charge.
Yes, yeah. Well,
it's not identical to a charge, yeah. Because some things like chariots get a bonus on charge that they wouldn't get on advance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they get an extra attack.
Cool, okay.
And only in that one situation.
Yeah.
So it's not giving everybody, because some people wanted it just to be for cavalry. Mm. I said, but that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If a unit of Iron Guts stomps on a unit of goblins, what's the difference?
Them. Yeah, what's the difference? What's the difference? Straight over them.
Chaos Warriors stomps on goblins.
Yeah. Like, what even was that? Like, what did I step on?
So whatever, dragon ogres. Yeah.
Okay, so
small change, but hopefully does some good. But there is an optional rule, so yep. Take it or leave it.
So then it says, who can pursue rewording and
we'll have to look at that.
So these are like some changes, aren't
so we'll
you?
Have to find that.
Yeah, so who can pursue rewording, I don't think, and this clarification?
Is optional rule.
No, it's not. It's like, it's again, it's okay. And then flyers, half pace move was changed to 10 centimeters, and flyers can change only half pace move when in a regular formation.
Okay, so there was a bizarre thing in the game where flyers in a regular formation,
yeah,
where half pace move was still 100.
Yeah, which had to, we had to get changed. Yeah.
So, well, it didn't have to, but it has been changed. Yeah. And flyers can only move half pace now when in regular formation, which stops you if you're going to do the flyers facing backwards and forwards.
Oh, yeah.
which is a valid tactic. Yeah. They can only use initiative to charge 10 centimeters now.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Because that's how far they can move.
Yeah.
It used to be, well, effectively it was 20, but it used to be 100 again, but whatever.
So then really scout matter. Rules are points distribution adjustments, which is fair enough. And so that gives us the post about like what it is. And now I guess we're going to go look over the book, aren't we?
Well, we're going to try and find some of the sections that have changed, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to now look at the Warmaster Rules 2.0 with marked changes, which means they're highlighted in yellow.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're going to go to page 14 first. I think Paul says that is the...
So, command phase giving an order. And the second paragraph has some changes into it. I'll read out the full paragraph, I guess. Roll 2d6, i.e. roll two dice and add the results to get a score between 2 and 12. If the score is equal or less than the character's command value, the unit has received its order and can move its full pace.
Mm-hmm.
If the score is more than the character's command value, then the unit has not received the order. And now it's yellow, and can only move half pace. See movement section, page 19. This represents units' commanders being able to act on their own and to some limited extent. So that is the half pace move in the core rules.
Cool.
Then over
that
the
page... That obviously applies to a brigade as well.
Yes.
To everything in the brigade.
So over the page on the section of giving further orders, same page, there's a line there saying, a unit failing to receive a further order cannot move at all. Yeah, so you basically note that a unit can be given up to a maximum of 3 orders in succession. A unit failing to receive an order cannot move at all. So there you go. I guess
okay, after the first free one.
Bit of clarification in there.
Okay.
Looking for, okay, on movement and advance, so page 19, there is the
18
summary.
18 in the book, but yeah.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, page 18 in the book. The movement at a glance, there is flying units, full pace 100, half pace 10 centimetres.
That's right.
We continue.
That's good. I'm looking, I'm enjoying those, some Ents there. The Ents are coming on page 24.
What happened to Ent wives in Lord of the Rings?
Who?
The Ents were, like, didn't have their wives. So what happened to the
What's
wives?
An Ent wife? Is that like some elf... birthing machine.
So Ents in Lord of the Rings were a race of living trees.
Right.
And they were all male, and the females were called Ent wives.
I've never heard of such a thing, sir, but okay.
Have you ever read Lord of the Rings? No? Like, watched that letter?
Yeah, of course, but I don't remember the talk.
They are
the
mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah. You've never seen, because Tolkien himself said, I don't know.
Well, there's your answer.
Yeah, yeah. The writer is like, people would write to us like, why are they, where, what happened to the Ent wives? He doesn't know. I mean, like,
better find an end to that.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't know either. Nobody knows.
What are you up to? What page
okay,
now?
I found one, page
44. 44. Okay, we're zipping past. So nice new diagrams as well. The diagrams were very dull.
Yes, in the original.
The black and white. I mean, they had AVs and C's and shit to try and distinguish. But now you can see they've got stars. And
so this is combat
crossbows
phase.
And axes and reds and blues.
The last paragraph of supporting charges. The paragraph in full reads, "The supporting charge is a special kind of combined move. The supporting unit's move is rolled into that of the charging unit and is considered part of it. The charger can be thought as carrying the supporting charger with the same order. If a unit is unable to move for whatever reason, it's confused, for example, or it does not have sufficient move distance to move, if it is in a regular formation, for example, then it cannot make a supporting charge." In yellow, also note that after failing to receive its first order, a unit cannot use its half-pace move to join combat by moving into the supporting position. Right. Exactly so. Yeah, because a half-pace move does not get...
So that supporting charge is something that comes out of initiative moves.
Yeah. Okay. Next page. Next one is...
Isn't
on,
it? I'm right about
yes,
that.
Yes, right, you are. Yeah. On page 47, the section that they're called Pursuit...
And who has, can pursue what?
Yeah, it has Pursuit and which units can pursue, and then it has this table... And it's like as in like it, well, text in a block, and it says the first. There's two bits of it in yellow. The first one is number one. Infantry units cannot pursue cavalry or chariots retreating from the same engagement. This enables mounted troops to avoid pursuit from a slower foot troops, and also to cover the retreat of friends in some situations. There are a few exceptions to this rule. If an infantry unit charges a cavalry or chariot unit that is in a regular formation and charges it in the flank, a cavalry or chariot unit that is in a regular formation or charges it in the flank or rear, the infantry unit is permitted to pursue the retreating cavalry and chariot unit in the round it charged. For further exceptions, see infantry contact with cavalry on page 49. So basically, infantry could chase cavalry in the flank once.
Or rear.
Yeah, or rear, yeah.
But is that irregular formation thing new?
I don't know. Might well be, yeah.
I don't remember that being a criteria, but it was an optional rule.
I just never do irregular formations.
Oh, I definitely do irregular formations. I know. Well, it could be anything. There's only two formations, aren't there? Line and column. Everything else is irregular.
Yeah. Always form column, like square, to receive cavalry. So.
Yes, but even if you're snaking or whatever, if you're not in a line or column, you're irregular.
Yeah, you're regular.
So it happens quite often, I think.
Yeah. All right. Paragraph, bit five of this box.
So I tell you, we never pursue retreating enemies of any kind.
Yeah, are we going over the yellow?
Because this is new.
Go. Yep.
Isn't it? The yellow's changed. The
yellow's changed. Okay, cool.
But I don't think this is new, is it?
No, they. Yeah, artillery can never pursue.
Fortified units never pursue. Yeah. Why would they? Yeah, yeah. Troops never pursue who have retreated into terrain they cannot enter.
Well, it makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
So, yellow, five. Yeah. Non-flying units cannot pursue flying units retreating from the same engagement.
Exceptions.
A flying unit can be pursued by a non-flying unit when charged in the flank or rear, or when it's in an irregular formation in the round it charged. For further exceptions, see infantry contact with cavalry on page 49. So, flyers can be chased if they're in the flank.
Or rear.
Or irregular, yes. It's some lovely art, pictures of people's models in here, isn't it?
I love those Mohicans. Goblins with the Mohicans, that should be like obligatory.
Okay, so page 51... They're just put in yellow is an optional rule there. If the enemy is destroyed in the first round of combat, the advancing unit gets a charge bonus as per normal charge. So he's put the optional rules in the sections where they would be if they were not optional.
An enemy unit is destroyed in the first round of combat, the advancing unit gets
a charge bonus as per normal charge.
We've
already talked about that.
Yeah, but that's different.
What?
To how I imagined it. The charge bonus does mean that you get... chariot charges. Yeah,
because we were reading from the first thing we were reading from a news post. Mm-hmm. So this is.
So I imagined it just being the advantage you get plus one, but it's not. You get full charge. Even better. My Rhinox can now get stuck into those fucking trolls behind the goblin balloons.
They could, but they'll have taken a hit or two from the goblins.
Yeah, but I'm giving 21 attacks out now instead of 15, so I'll take my one or two hits.
So keep scrolling. Okay,
but that is an optional rule.
Page 65, flying units.
Flying units.
Section moving. Second paragraph. Flying units can move up to 100 centimetres when moving under orders. However, when charging, flyers can only move up to 60. Once a flying unit has moved, it is treated exactly like a ground-based unit and can therefore be shot at, charged or attacked with magic in the normal way. However, certain special rules apply regarding terrain as noted below. Also note that flying units can only move half pace up to 10 centimetres when charging from irregular formation, which is the exception to the normal rules. Which is good. And we continue scrolling, looking for the yellows. Oh, here's another one. So page 66, characters, optional rule, in the command phase.
I'm not sure it is an exception to the normal rules now. It is part of the normal rules, isn't it?
No. Anyway. Okay. So, optional rule. If the in the command phase, flying units must end their movement more than 1 centimetre away from enemy units unless charging.
Cool.
We continue looking for the yellows.
See, in my mind, if we were going to have that optional rule, I'd just have it to everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, page 74, artillery machine, artillery section.
Artillery.
That's a little above, isn't it? Yeah, so it is, section is shooting overhead, because it bridges over the page. And I'll read the whole paragraph. Artillery stands are, so this is the bottom of page 73, actually.
Yep. So artillery, the beautiful trolls. Yeah. Look at those trolls.
I don't know, but they're lovely. Yeah, like artillery stands.
I mean, the GW trolls, but I don't even paint them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like artillery stands are positioned on high ground, can shoot over the top of intervening troops on a lower level. Very important tactically. Artillery stands can shoot over the top of intervening troops in the same way, same level or higher level, if the target is on a high level still. In both cases, intervening troops include all friendly units and any enemy units that are ineligible as targets. For example, because they are engaged in combat, enemy units that are eligible as targets cannot be shot over because they have to be shot at. Artillery are being obliged to shoot the closest viable target in the same way as other shooters. E.g., artillery placed on the top of a hill can shoot over friendly stands and combat engagements on lower ground. Yellow. However, it cannot shoot over intervening terrain such as woods, built-up areas, and similar terrain features that block line of sight.
Makes sense. I never liked that rule.
Yeah,
it was that you could shoot over woods, but it didn't make any
sense. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It was just a rule that was in there. Like, what do they call it? Grandfathering. But something was in there, and you kind of think, It doesn't really make sense what is in there. So, no,
so
it's not.
Moving
there.
Forward.
Nice Cromarty Forge cannons there.
Yes, book at page 82, the paragraph. Oh, Christ. The page 82.
Magic weapons. Have they got the? Oh, have they got the different price word magic items? Or are they not?
Yeah.
Oh, just, the less. Yeah, major, minor.
So scouting. Okay. So it's basically this is the way to set up the battlefield, like for pace. And there's been some changes in the points, and we'll go through that. So. Role flyers, scouting points, 3, troop types. Flying units or any flying character on a flying mount. Mm-hmm. Rangers, gunner runners, gorgers, way watchers, because they are traditionally scouts. That is, in they are good at it. Scouts, worth 2 points. Any unit of cavalry with 6+ armor, ethereal host, centaurs, warhounds, huntsmen, beast herd, herdkin, deployed as ambush, skirmishers, non-flying general. I think ethereal host is different there, isn't it? That's what's different.
I think there were some changes to kind of make things a bit more competitive.
So like vampire counts can have something that can scout.
So
like,
beast, I'm not sure beast herd herdkin deployed as ambushers were in there.
Yeah, because they're scouting, aren't they? That makes sense. Yeah, that's
not.
New.
I mean, they are. They're in there, but I'm not sure they were in there.
So patrol.
One flying general, you'd be brave to put him out, wouldn't you?
I would. Yeah, like patrols at 1 point. Any unit of cavalry with 0 or 5+ armor. That's the 5+ armor is different.
Right.
I think rat swarms, skinks, and non-flying command 8 character. So yeah, there are some subtle changes in there in terms of like adding more specific, you know, exceptions like ethereal hosts, for example.
I mean, it certainly does bring people's chance to get a like
warhounds is another big one as well because they were they had 0 armor. Mm.
So you could get to. Like double figures.
Yeah,
with
most armies. So when we're talking about scouting, it means what that does is it gives you, so people who doesn't understand the mechanic is your army has a, you commit some arm of your army to scouting and you, in an organised play, you're fit, that's what you're doing for every game.
Yep.
And that gives you, say, scouting value, I don't know, 5 or something, and you roll 2 dice, add your 5, Barry rolls 2 dice, add 7 because he's got more scouts.
Yep.
The winner then chooses the table side and places his scouts down first.
Right.
Then the opponent places the rest of his army.
The whole army. Yeah, yeah.
And then goes back to Barry and he places the rest of his army. But first turn goes to the player who failed the scouting roll. So that's a key thing.
Is that listed here as well? But what I would say is there are certain armies that are better than this than
others. Yeah, but naturally, like...
Like dwarves. What are dwarves going to do? Put my
Rangers.
Rangers and my general.
Gyrocopters. They're actually quite good at it.
Yeah, but not Albion good.
No. No, but...
Albion, don't they have, like, flyers?
Yes.
In, like, eagles?
Yep.
Flying characters?
I guess an eagle one, yeah.
Yeah, 8 or 12 units of dogs at 2 points each.
Yeah,
they were quite good. I mean, you could get them to 30 points of stuff. So a lot of my armies, like ogres, I just don't fucking bother. I just think, I'm not interested.
No, it's like,
And I put North against Scout. You win.
Yeah.
Pick his table side.
Exactly. Like, unless the opponent has also got an army that just can't do it very well, and they've decided not to bother, then it's a simple roll off, isn't it? Yeah. But having a scouting score is important when you're playing scenarios, which it should be. And I can think of one decent scenario pack out there. And also, it speeds up setup so much quicker. It really does. Because if you did a version where it was like, I set up a unit, you set up a unit, you're going to take forever.
And sure, it says who goes first in this bit.
Must do. But that's all the yellows. That's all the yellow marks.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely allow the person who lost the scouting to go first.
Yeah.
If it's not in here, I would just do that because it will make it work better.
I'll have a look. Okay, yeah. Finally, the player who won the scouting role then placed the remainder of his units in the deployment zone and must move second in the first turn.
Oh, move second. There you go. Perfect.
There it is. Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Cool. So that is all the yellow changes.
Is there any more?
No, that's it.
Are you going through the rest of it?
Yeah. So it doesn't have the army lists in here.
No.
Nope. That'll be a future thing and probably won't be like a book. It'll, you know, imagine.
He's doing it.
Oh, wow.
Because Alice has got photos of every unit. He's got symbols for every faction. He's got, fluff.
Sweet.
So I'm not saying that that book isn't going to be similar to this book. I'm just saying that the changes to that book will be a lot more frequent than the changes to this book.
Exactly. Like the amount of changes that were in this book. Like, yeah, you could have taken a pen to and made some amendments.
And going forward, I expect the changes to be even less.
Probably, yeah.
To this book.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, you may just be able to get an errata to the...
If you look on page 39...
Oh, closed it down, you said we're finished.
So if you look on page 39, there's my Skaven.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just look on your phone.
See that one, then. That's my Skaven.
I can see the little pink noses.
Little pink noses, yep. It's nice to have some painted models of mine in there.
That's very nice.
And you have, I mean, there must be some Blackgate miniature models in there, isn't there?
I would have, maybe the ogres, the demons, maybe. Yeah, yeah. I know Chris took some pictures in Bruno.
Yeah, yeah. So.
So we'll see, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting times, really. It's like, you know, say, look at this from the point of view of someone who's not in the committee. And you know, it's like, oh, is this game live? Yeah, it's live. It's, it's this, now it has this lovely version, like a lovely rule set out there, and there's all the advanced terrain rules. That's cool to see. So next time we play a game, I'll be reading this book like it was fresh. You can't assume you know everything in it, so I'll be like rereading.
You can see that's why you use the yellow book. That's why I advise people to get the one with the yellow in it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not printing it, if you're using it on your
online, I'd be looking at it again, like. Check knowledge. It's like, right, reread it all again.
So what are you thinking about the use of the optional rules? I know you're a 100% adopter normally, so it's just like, bring it all.
100% adopter again.
Just bring it all on.
Yeah, no, it's got, I mean, like, because they always apply to both players.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like, and yeah, and I get it. It's like, if my two units of heavy cavalry didn't even notice the goblins they ran over, why should they be then less effective? Yeah, I get it.
The only thing I would say, and it's not necessarily an issue, it's when I have tier one, like tier A, tier S, or whatever, flyers, like eagles, pterodons, etc.
Right.
They would have been an always two of in every list I built because they're so fucking good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And with the new changes and with the fact that they don't always have that good a target in every game.
Nope.
Some games they have to hide most of the game and just try and pick off single stands and shit.
Yep.
I think there's a chance that I'd only take one.
Okay.
And lists with harpies and that kind of shit level, birdmen, I'm never taking more than one.
Yeah.
Ever again.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that's just, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. But that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we have nerfed flyers a little bit over the last 5-6 years. Because they were really good. When you went back to the olden days and they've charged 100 centimeters and
I remember like you have two units of flyers that go out to either flank and the amount of board space
you're
looking at your like you're supposed to put two characters out.
How do you protect the flanks?
Like, Like, yeah, it's like good. They're gonna hit me, but they're gonna hit me before I hit them, definitely.
And then you've got the home back to eat. Yep. It's because yeah. So if you're going down a flank, you could get a 60-centimeter home back, and
I think in general, with all of the things, the little stuff that we've like tinkered around, it's always like you need more characters. Like, yo, it's always like having more characters is beneficial. Opens up options to you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in terms of like little, like even like options for where you fly home backs, or like being able to give smaller orders rather than bigger ones, in terms of like, and like, so I've got, like, for example, like, I think one, I've got my two heavy cavalry here. I think one unit of heavy cavalry will deal with that target. They both don't need to go into it. Because I'd be better off sending them in other ways,
mm-hmm.
or like redeploying one. So it's like, it gives you that mitigation. So like, okay, I've got two characters. So one character's going to order one unit of heavy cavalry.
Yeah.
And if they failed, at least I can try the other one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's
two
like,
bites of the cherry, but it's not exactly. free, is it?
No, it's not free. You pay points.
80 but points it's like, per it's, order.
I guess my recommendation to new players is take more characters than you think. Like, because you'll find a way to use them. Like, you know, as in, if you take, like, even down to like wizard characters with their reduced, with their command of 20, and sometimes you need them, you want them to be doing their spells, you know, ordering, you know, like as in not concentrating or ordering.
Not all armies are built equally with characters. Yeah. If you're high elves and you're already paying 180 for your general, and then say you want a dragon wizard, you're already 20% of your army's gone.
It's gone,
And you haven't put a miniature on the table. Yeah. You've just got two tokens.
Two tokens, really,
So how much more stuff can you put in? Maybe you put another hero in. Yeah. Is that enough? Probably not. Yeah. Then you need another fucking hero. You could easily get to 40% of your army in a high elf list on characters.
Could easily, yeah. And it's not necessarily bad. No. Like, it's not, and that's not a bad choice. It's like, you know, the game is about command, and, you know, so, like, I had a recent thing, like, in Bruno, when we was, like, with the rule, like, playtesting rules that we were doing for Skaven, I was like, there seemed like an opportunity for the Crown of Command, and it's like a 75-point item.
It used to be 100, I can't work out why it's so
much. It was 100, and it's like a 75-point item to give my guy a first shake of the dice is command 10 every turn, unless it breaks. But that was really good for like, it's in 10 unmodified.
Yeah, but that's the first one's the easy one.
Yeah, but when it's 10 unmodified, you can pull off something crazy. Nothing modifies it. It's 10. Like, so I'm going to order that single unit of trolls.
That single stand?
Single stand of trolls in the woods, like, to go backwards.
Enemy near.
Like, you know, to get away from that enemy or whatever, you know, that are near. And it's like 10. Yeah, it's like. It for Skaven, it was opening up some, because the gutter runners were able to deploy a lot easier. It was opening up loads of options like for Skaven.
Oh, with the bin lid?
Well, no, not just with the bin lid, but like,
imagine if you ever this.
Because it used to, because like gutter runners, like the issue of gutter runners was they're really hard to get on the table.
Right.
But
always a 10.
Yeah, but now it's always a 10. And now my grace is like, it's a 10, but like, unit there, please. And great, next turn it'll be a unit there, please.
So take it instead of the bell then, I guess. Cheaper than
maybe,
the bell.
Maybe. Or maybe that's a, it might be a nice way you represent the actual item. Could be.
Like, cheaper than
so
the bell.
So my crown of command is represented by this screaming bell. You know, like, and again, it's like, that again, what is the question we, what is half the questions given to that, like people who don't know Warmaster, in terms of like, oh, how do I represent, I want to, why isn't there a unit of rules for said thing? It's like, represent it in another way. You know, like, why isn't there rules for high elf, like, Phoenix Guard? Represent it in another way. Mm. You know, like...
Because people don't like...
Yeah, but
that's the problem, isn't it?
Like, how do I represent... I've got a crown of command on my grace here. Well, it's the screaming bell. Okay. You know, like, it's how I'm representing it.
Okay. Mm. I think high elves get the wrong end of the stick. I like some Phoenix. I've got a couple of units of Phoenix Guard. They're quite nice.
But it's you know, there's anyway.
I don't know. How would you make them different?
How would I do it?
What would be the difference?
If it had a different
stat line? What would they be? Just fucking Saurus.
Extra attack, wouldn't they?
Hey, here we go again. Everybody gets Saurus. Everybody gets
the stat line for Saurus. Yeah. There's other ways, but like, yeah.
But this is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why there's this. The game is quite the opposite of graduated. So it's kind of blocky.
Right, yeah.
The difference, you want something really that's not Saurus, but is better than High Elf Spearman. And that's what Phoenix Guard would be.
And the difference between the two is one extra attack.
But it's quite blocky. That's what I mean.
So it's the minimum difference.
Is an extra attack.
But you want to make it, it's a bit hard to then change.
But if you don't, I don't know what it is, but if you don't find a way, everybody just ends up with Saurus, don't they?
Yeah, stranger. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't Saurus are good. Anyway, that was good. It's good. I'd highly recommend everybody get out there and.
But it's free.
If you ever meet any of the people involved, buy them a drink.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Alish or Mark Matthew.
I noticed there hasn't been like some Patreon or there hasn't been some like some donation page or like as in like if you want to give. Send the guy a buck who did this, like send
a buck. Are we American now?
Yeah, like, oh, whatever.
Hey, buddy.
That's what I've seen before. And it's like, but it's but there you go. It's like it's not. Some people have put an awful lot of work into that, and it looks lovely. It's only making the game better. It's like we'll never get it perfect because there is no perfect game systems,
mm-hmm.
but we are doing it nicely. And it's a shame we can't latch on now all the conversation about all the army changes that are
coming.
But they're coming. That's another episode.
They're coming. Yeah. There was a fucking big batch. Big batch this year. Big batch.
I think so. Yeah, and also we
deliberately
could,
big.
But also we could even talk about the ones that failed. Would be quite interesting as well, wouldn't it? I'm sure some people would like to hear that. What could have happened? Which might happen again in the future. Who knows?
Yeah. But that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But. That'll be a good episode.
It will be. Talking I mean, like, in terms of, again, as... Because we've gone through what changes are in the core rulebook, and there's not been a great deal.
Nope.
But, which is obviously encouraging, but if you were a punter, I'd be most interested in, what are the changes to the army list? So, some have had... will have 3, 4, 5 changes, wouldn't they? Some.
Yeah. Some of them none.
Some of them none. Yeah, some
quite
of them
a few
because,
of them none.
But yeah, and because... For whatever reason, it didn't get our attention.
People aren't complaining about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly. Yeah, and it's like,
for example, like Empire, nobody really complains about Empire, or nobody complains about, they do complain about High Elves, but nobody complains about buffing High Elves, or who else went quite Vampire Counts. Those kind of things, the lists are quite stable.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and if you out there are playing some army and you really would like, you think out a decent change, not just a whim, then there's a way to put it on the experimental
form. Oh, that's where you go. That's
where you go, and it might get attention of somebody else.
And please come and discuss the Leadership 10 thing. Yep. One thing it has, there was quite a lot of kind of, what do you call it? Like kind of reactionism, where people are trying to shut it down, saying, oh, fucking no. Yeah. Problems here, problems there, you're looking at the wrong problem. Yeah. The discussion is about Leadership 10. Yeah. So if you want to come and discuss Leadership 10, great. If you don't want to, if you don't think Leadership 10's a problem, say I don't think Leadership 10's a problem, then don't go off to another fucking stream of things that you think instead deal with this. Because I'm not fucking talking about all those things. Talk about Leadership 10, Command 10.
So in the...
Don't start talking about something else.
So in that medieval game I played yesterday, the Teutonic Order gets a special character.
Of course it is.
Named character.
Yeah.
And he's a 10-point increase and he gives every commander, every character in your army, Leadership 10 for the first... turn.
What difference is that going to fucking make? Well, just move forward a lot.
No, it means you actually get forward on the first turn.
First turn is when you don't have any problems.
Yeah, well, at least it helped that initial.
Well, you get up the pitch.
Yeah, get up the pitch.
But then what?
Well, exactly. Then you're not. but it was like I love that. Yeah.
So anyway, get on the. One thing it has shown me is there's no consensus, but I knew this anyway. You ask 100 people what their favourite drink is and you get 100 fucking answers.
100 answers, yeah. So exactly. That's fine. I mean, it's cool. It's like, it's as in...
But you can't... You say you're going to do a tournament list. You can't have 100 fucking tournament lists.
No.
You might have like two, A and B, and people try which one they like.
So it's like big picture stuff. It's like, okay, so we'll, it's like I'm running again the LGT or like heading up the team running the LGT. For Warmaster and 32 players is about right. Is like in terms of like that we'll get the right amount of tickets, they'll play a player base.
But you can't go bigger because you can't do the rounds.
As I say, yeah, and people are fatigued after five rounds. And it is, and it just, it's like, that is what this game is. Like, you know, it, to me, in terms of like...
Okay, I'm fatigued after two rounds, mate.
You would be. But, you know, and it's like, okay, there's, you know, that's... And it's, I say, it still is a lovely game system. And it's like, you know, and there's... It still keeps my interest. And certainly, like, as, you know, a little spoiler, but like, as a Skaven player, the changes that are coming through for Skaven make the army to me interesting again. You know, like, you know, so it's like, ooh, right, okay, back in. Well,
winning brings interest too.
I don't know if I'll win, but it's like, I get to play the Skaven army I want to play.
Okay, good, good.
Because at the moment, the Skaven list had devolved to a list that I didn't want to play, you know, which was awkward for the opponent as well. And it's like, because it was just...
Well, only in timed environment.
Yeah. So, and those changes bring it back to an army that I want to play.
Okay, good, good. Mm-hmm. Right, so I'll see you online at the forum. You want to come and poke the bear?
Yes,
poke me on the forum. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you in probably... So I think it closes 28th-ish, yeah. And then...
In a month.
So make it a couple of weeks' time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'll get it done quickly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about it.
Cool.
All right, so we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you in a bit. Bye.
Would you like to know more?